My problem at the time when it was mentioned was why wasn't the name of the company mentioned? That was my problem. If you're talking about transparency and exposing the things to the public and so on and so on, why wasn't the name of the company mentioned when she indicated that this company was at every stop that they were going to make? I would really like them to come out, because you cannot allow people to be making these types of statements, talking about transparency, talking about corruption, accusing people of corruption, and then you find yourself in a bind, not being able to expose or tell the public who or why these people were there. My understanding is that the people had legitimate reasons to be there.
So again, you are putting a case that is not in the public domain in the public domain.
But
you're asking for a clarification.
I want them to come out and say,
sir, but no, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. You've just said that you're making allegations, and that's exactly what you're doing.
Okay. Well, I want them to come and to say whether it is true or not.
Okay.
Anything wrong with that? If they're talking about transparency, come and let us know the name of the company that was
sold
there.
But sir, you see, again, if I come on air, right, and say to you, I want you to say that you are not Mr. So-and-so that I see climbing through my window last night. I want you to dispute that. You think that's being fair to you?
You're telling me,
No. I am asking you a question before you tell me
anything.
Everything
is fair to me?
Uh-huh.
No, but you're
good. Okay, so hold on.
You're gone.
Hold on. A statement was made by the Prime Minister at some meeting. It was at a meeting she had attended, right? And
right.
She did not call the name of a company. Subsequently, hold on a minute now, sir. I just trying to walk through this with you. Okay, so you ask why? No problem with that. I subsequently saw the name of a company mentioned in the newspapers or online somewhere, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anybody say yes, it was, or no, it wasn't, in an official capacity. I saw the name. You're also putting additional information that you say it is common practice that this would be passed on and representatives would be there. I don't know that it's common practice either. But what you're saying is that somebody should refute the statements you've made. I'm asking you, if the person did not say in the first place, I don't question the ask of where is the transparency if you don't say person X or company X was there. We had some suspicions as to why they were there, how they got the information, so they pull them back. Fine. But when you put information in the public domain and say refute it, I have a problem with that.
Okay.
Because I don't know what it's based on.
Well, I would have done my research as well.
Okay.
But I want to also say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That not every comment that is made in this atmosphere now is, well, based on some information that I've been privy to, it would appear as this to me, that certain things are going to be said in the public because the public is going to grab a lot at them because of the corruption, the air of corruption in the air. And therefore, people are not going to be able to see through some of the statements, and they're not going to be able to see
the
rail.
So how come you see through them?
Right?
How come you see through them?
Because how come I see through them?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have journalistic instinct.
Precisely, sir. And this is the problem I always have when people say people will not do this and people will not do that. I keep asking where we get that impression from, that people won't do it. Sir, listen, anybody who is not blinded by whatever they're blinded by will ask questions of any statement that is made by anybody that doesn't ring true to them.
They should.
What, sir? They do. Trust me, they do.
Okay.
I mean, listen. When you meet people in the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to them one on one, and somebody says to you, "I hear so and so and so and so." You really believe that? And they ask you that question. You think they have any particular instincts that make them ask that, or just don't sound right to them?
Some of them repeat verbatim what they are told.
Because they're blinded, which is what I just said to you. And they know that what they're saying is blinded too, but they will not admit that.
They think so.
Don't think that they don't know. If you believe that they don't know, sir, you're as blind as they are. Sir, there are people who come here, right?
Mm-hmm.
and ask me all kind of questions and go all around the bush. And I sit down, I pretend to be stupid. The reason why I do it is because I'm waiting on them to trip over their shoelaces. Because I know they're not as stupid as they pretend to be, and they're not as stupid as they want me to think they are. But they do it for a reason.
Yeah, right. That I am going to be one of those persons who will be listening very carefully, because that particular statement, when I heard it, the first question I asked was, why didn't she make the announcement of the name of the company that was there? Okay? And I found that very, very, very curious and very, very strange. I'm raising it now because I want them to come and say the name of the company.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. 434-1790. Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. This talk about the trucks and people returning. Well, I would like to know, it gets right to the point. I would like that when they do decide to get the trucks, and I hope it is soon, God willing, that we will get trucks that don't be dropping all the slush all over the road. One went up in the gap. We didn't get a collection for quite a while, and when it didn't come, oh my God. Children complained the road, had to wash down the road with the hoses. I know there are trucks overseas that might be a bit expensive, but I think it would be profitable for us to buy proper trucks so that, because we don't got the money now, so we don't want to be taking our kids to the doctor after the truck pass, because we don't have money to do that. So please, those who are...
Ma'am, how does the slush get in the truck?
Well, sometimes the rain falls in the garbage can. They mm-hmm. tend to put holes in the bottom of the can, but yet you find that sometimes the rain blow off the cover and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
is it because we're putting the wrong things in the garbage?
But maybe that can be so too.
Okay.
But Mr. Johnson, if the trucks are built with some kind of container to hold that slush, which is not impossible, we could send men to the moon and yet we can't do certain things that are necessary. That slush, even like when you're going across the road, the main road to the bus ball or anything, you got to be dodging this thing on morning to get to the... On top of if the rain falls, it's all in the gutter. We need trucks that would hold that and dump it when they get to that place where they dump the thing. That's what I would like to see. All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Ma'am, David tackled it yesterday, and he had a discussion with the minister. He had a discussion with Cammie Holder from the Future Center Trust. We have got to make some decisions about how we live our lives, how we treat our environment, how we treat ourselves, and how we treat our neighbors. Maybe the same way we've gone with Adopt a Kilometer and having our highway tidied by good corporate citizens. Perhaps we reached a stage at some point where households, neighborhoods would have garbage receptacles color-coded, red bottles, blue plastic, green newspaper and so on, and we would learn to sort our garbage, that we would have trucks, as you say, that carry receptacles for the sludge coming out of the truck. Maybe at some point we would stop putting entrails in bags and tossing it along the Bell Road and cart roads and other people's property, because apparently the mosquitoes in St. Philip don't bite anybody in St. George. Or the rats in Christchurch don't do anything to the people in St. Peter. Apparently they're very parochial. They don't cross the road. They only stay on one side. And they only affect the empty lot down the road because it ain't close to our home. And if it's running across the road by the bus stop, well, we can always walk across and stand by the other side. Oh, hope that nobody pass and splash us. You see how it gets wrong to what we do and how it affects how we live. I hear about the trucks. I hear about the expense, and I hear about the government fixing it. But until we start fixing some things ourselves, we ain't going nowhere, you know. Brastex, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you, sir?
I'm good too, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
How are the family all good?
They're doing well, sir.
Good. Why call you about, you said something, then why call you about, but it's a part of it. Mm-hmm. I hear you said about poor people, and that because a guy might turn up with a BMW or something, or a Benz, that doesn't necessarily mean that he
wrecked. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You wrecked that?
Sir, listen, no.
So
what I said was,
taxi?
No, let me tell you. I said, right, we have a strange way of determining how and who has wealth and how. So if
right.
a white youngster turns up at school with a Mercedes Benz, mm-hmm. we say, oh, his father rich.
Yeah.
You ask why, they say, because he white. The yeah. family have money. But if my son turns up with a Benz, they ask him, where your father teeth it.
Well, that is true.
Because we look at people and assume that some people have wealth because of their color, and some people have wealth because they teeth it. And I don't know when we can change that.
But
this is something I have. It is something I've seen and heard over and over.
That will not change in Barbados, though. That might be so in the United States and England and Europe and them places, but not in Barbados. The people that live in Barbados, the vast majority of them are white and no Indians.
Yes, sir. And that's why. And that's why I said to you, and that's why I particularly made the statement that we assume that their wealth came because they always had it. That the black people who have wealth get because they thief it, not because they work hard, not because they accumulate it, but because they thief it.
I'm not fair with thieves, too, but the white folks have been thieving from generation.
Well,
so we got to be careful with that. And then what I do know, if I'm to break your father vault, if your father had vault with $1 billion, and my father carry it there,
mm-hmm.
and give it to me, mm-hmm. that is stolen money that I receive. Is that not true?
Yes, sir.
And it is your money that my father stole. Is that not true?
Sir, let me tell you something, right? Sparrow had a calypso that I like a lot. It is called A Good Citizen.
Mm.
And he says, when does someone become a good citizen? I would like to know for sure.
Mm.
He said, because there are people who use tax evasion, false declaration,
right.
a profiteering, piracy, and we call them good citizens.
That's true.
So,
no.
you know.
Mr. Johnson. They have a good citizen on the front page of today's paper, though. You see that gentleman, Sir David Simmons?
Yeah.
He is a good citizen. I tell you from experience. I mean, I don't be in his bed with him. I don't be every place he is, but they talk about a human being that has used principle to assist and help. That is one. There got a few more, but he's one. But let me explain to you, Mr. Johnson. Last week, me and you were talking, and we made the statement that people wonder why you always use Jesus. Even though I'm a Muslim, right? Remember mm-hmm. that?
Yes, I know. They ask why you use Jesus when you don't believe in him.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, I do not believe
that he's the
Jesus
Son of God.
Is the Son
yes,
of God.
So. He said so.
But I believe that there was
God's
a man
children.
On this earth with a brilliant mind called Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. This is my problem, though,
mm-hmm.
is that the religious people continue to push this Jesus as soon coming back, and he must come back to save the world. And I try to find out why he has to come back when he already went down here and taught us everything that we should do to have a peaceful world. In addition to that, Mr. Johnson, if Jesus, according to them, is the Son of God, as a matter of fact, they say that Jesus is God himself, that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
At least you hear that. Now, who would you believe out of Jesus and a prophet? If Jesus tell you something, he's supposed to be God himself, the Son of God, and they wanted the tree.
He called himself the Son of Man, though.
Huh?
He called himself the Son of Man. He didn't say he was
right.
the Son of
okay.
God.
I know, right?
Okay.
But we don't say that. We say that he's God himself. Not we, those who want to believe it. The point I'm trying to make, in the scriptures, Jesus said that no man has ever seen the shape of God or heard his voice, right? Who are you going to believe, Mr. Johnson? That or someone who told that Jesus taught, that God taught to all these people? So I want to explain something to Barbadian people. Again, I heard a gentleman there was touching on it very good. I was glad about how hard poor people work and all kind of thing. And then, you know, they end up basically suffering. And you know what I mean? My philosophy is that there should be shareholders in the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want to find out, Mr. Johnson. If we have a crisis in Barbados, and we do have a crisis in Barbados, whether we like it or not, Barbados is collapsing. We have a new prime minister who is trying her best to get all citizenry included so we can save this country. Because Mayor Motley can't fool nobody. Mayor Motley telling you the truth all the time, so she can't fool nobody. She letting you know that the country is in crisis. She letting you know all the things that must done. We must get together, mobilize our resources to save this country. She letting you know that she talking to people who had contracts that really don't make no sense, and some of them coming out of it, and I hope all will come out. So the truth is, the lady is explaining to everybody facts. She's not about fooling people. Now, if that is so, Mr. Johnson, we all know now that this country is in crisis. We're supposed to be religious Christian people. Is it not time enough that the very rich, who most of them didn't get their money because they're brilliant, a lot of them get because of the color, right, and because of who, what they inherit. Is it not time enough, Mr. Johnson, like the gentleman was saying, and I was very impressed with that point, where people who could afford it pay the bus fare and those, I mean, that mm-hmm. retirement thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it not time enough that the rich people of this country accept that they have been living well and easy, that Errol Walton Barrow gave back all the land when the government owned all these sugar plantations and things? Everybody not share it with the workers who helped build the plantations and all. He gave it all back to them. They are now very comfortable. They run the land into grass and sell it and get high prices. Is it not time enough that they sit with the minister, with the Prime Minister of Barbados and the cabinet and decide that we can make a contribution towards our country?
Aren't they doing it?
Mr. Johnson?
Aren't they doing it? Isn't that what they have been accused of? That they ran the last government out of power to get their government in so that they, because they wanted them in office? That's what was said. That they held back the contracts, that they back squeezed on things, and that they forced the government out of office. The previous administration.
You know, that the government that was not forced out of office. It is the most ugly and foolish government we ever had, so that really put itself out of office. But once people who making money, they are not going to put nothing out of office. I'm not saying they're making a lot of money out of the last government. But no boy that making money, Mr. Office, come here every weekend and you gave me a good meal to eat. I can do something to stop you from giving me the meal?
No, but you see, here's the challenge that I have, Brother Nasser, and it is one that I've had for a period of time, and it's the way our businesses in the region have become, I don't know, almost closed shops. So in other words, if I wanted to get into the car parts business, there will be car dealerships that would block or find ways to block my entry into that market if they think I'm a challenge to them.
That's right.
The reason why they could do it is because they don't only have the market in Barbados, but they have the market in Jamaica, in Trinidad, in St. Lucia, in Grenada, or affiliates in all those places.
Correct.
So that me, I decide, okay, the old man leave me a little pocket change. Mm-hmm. I want to get in the car dealership business. Mm-hmm. I got little family in Grenada. I got little family in Tobago. I got little family here and there. Well, we could start Johnson's Trading in spare parts all up and down the region. But because they own the franchise of car X or car Y, and they got big, they could squeeze me. Rather than seeing, hey, if my parts department is expensive to maintain, well, I could let Brother Johnson do the maintenance for my cars once he's reputable and once my, you know, he dragging down the name of the brand that I represent in, and we could share the pie. But we don't have that kind of mindset. So even if we start small business and try to empower, somewhere along the line, we run into this bottleneck. And here's where it gets worse. Here's where it gets worse. And this is where this question of perception of handshakes and perception of corruptions come into play. When the owner of big car dealership X is also the director of Bank Y,
mm-hmm.
or Company Z across the road that I got to deal with for labels or transportation.
Correct.
Suddenly I see, every time I go to car dealership X, I see John Stout.
Correct.
Or Larry Mears. Mm-hmm. I go across the Bank Y and look at the directors and I see John Stout, Larry Mears. Okay. I go across my transportation company Z, I see John Stout, Larry Mears. I say, but I can't get rid of these two fellas at all. Everywhere I turn, these two men watching me. Well, I can feel that they can squeeze me. So when I go to Bank Y and say, lend me some money here because I want to set up a parts dealership. And they tell me, well, boy, you know, I figure it's Larry and John that's squeezing me. You see my point, Brother Nasser?
Mr. Johnson, this is over 40 years, and there's an outstanding economist in Barbados. I would have to call an economist near all night. He would tell you, and I've been warning these people, interlottery directorship.
It's the perception, you know. It's not that there's anything wrong with the people, you know. I am not saying there's anything wrong with a person. It is just the perception that if everywhere I go, I keep seeing the same person and I keep running into a brick wall, I can accuse the person of something that maybe they don't even know who I am.
Brick wall with me, somebody belly. You ever said brick wall grow by itself yet?
No, sir. But that's
the... So remember this, Mr. Johnson.
Who built it,
though? The problem in Barbados, and I hope it feeds through the Caribbean, is that we are in a unique position now to have serious dialogue amongst the races of this country in the interest of bringing some economic balance to this country, Mr. Johnson. I don't care what nobody tells me. I hear a fella talking in the news about people left in Barbados and gone to St. Vincent has hit people
and walk heading.
Mm-hmm. You could give the police force the best arms in the world, which they need to have. You could give them all the authority to protect the country in the world, which they need to have. But if people are in trouble economically, the big rich fellas that got the money will not go and do the little small jobs, you know. They're going to pay somebody to go and do that. They ain't going. So therefore, if you could find ways of means of waking up to the reality that tourism has destroyed this country, and I can say it all the time, that tourism has destroyed this country, and we now should use the same tourist system to rebuild this country by asking the tourist sector to make sure that we support a lot of little entrepreneurs and so on in Barbados so we can get this country turning again. Mm-hmm. You cannot continue to pump money into tourism and tell me, but you're giving somebody 200 jobs to be with the mayors, to make up beds and things that does work. Huh? This young man, he ain't young, but he started young, that was a sewing machine mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
He learned it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that he's a multimillionaire today. I want you to tell me how many people putting up beds and making up beds and serving food in hotels that are millionaires in Barbados today.
Well, sir, I could tell you there was a gentleman in a union in Barbados who said to me that if a butler at Sandy Lane or the doorman at Sandy Lane makes more money than an engineer, he would tell his son, go and be a butler at Sandy Lane. The truth is that there were people who made a reasonable and comfortable living off the hospitality industry in what I call the golden years, when we exceeded the expectation of our visitors. And I've often said that it's not that we're an expensive destination. If I buy a $180,000 car, and when I drive it, I feel like driving a $20,000 car, I feel cheated. If I pay $30,000 for my car, and I feel like I'm driving a $180,000 car, I'm quite happy to drive a $30,000 car. We have to exceed the expectations of our guests. We have to know that we're not being paid what we're worth. We're paying what the person's job is worth. And we have to prove that we're worth more than they're paying us. Unfortunately, we've reached the stage where too many of us as workers are being made to feel that we ain't worth nothing. So we get in pocket change and we should feel happy that we have a job, because things hard out there and you could be one of them people without a job. That does not help the image of your business. It does not help your relationship with the public, and it does not increase your profits. But that's a philosophy that I will preach like the voice of one crying in the wilderness, because I don't believe that people believe that anymore. Always good chatting with you, sir. As a gentleman who used to call this program used to say, we're going to change the world rod by rod. Don't know that we're ever going to do it before my time goes. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello? 4341-790.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Yeah, not bad. My comment has to do with what Mr. Nasser said earlier, the comment he made. Hello?
I'm listening to you, sir. Go ahead. Yeah, the comment Mr. Nasser made earlier.
For me, in my book, right, leaving politics and becoming the highest judicial officer in the land, to me, if I had to do it, I would not consider myself principal. That's my standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's me. I don't know. It might be different for other people. But for me, I would find it, I wouldn't consider myself principal doing that. Right? It is just my standard. Maybe I am wrong. I have bad standards, right? You know? But I thought, I would think that is something that would happen more in Guatemala, on the Banana Republic. In fact, my behavior is close to that.
Well, sir, I suppose the proof is in the proof of the pudding that says in the eating. Did the gentleman show himself to be impartial in his operations?
I take your point.
Mr. Johnson,
that's not
there's
the point.
Optics. No, I took it. That's why I told you. I took your point.
My point is this, I thought principle, right?
I just told you, I agree with you that right. The optics are not good and you should...
Just right. This is the point.
Yeah, I get you.
Right. I'm not saying it has nothing to do with the person's character. The person is the best person on earth.
Sir, I just told you, I agree with the point you've made that the optics are wrong. Right.
Right, that's right. So this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, on another point, mm-hmm. Mr. Nasser was just saying that about those people who made all this money down the years. I could also use the same principle to those poor people who would never get into a secondary school, got many advantages and they're professionals and so on. You can say the same thing about them. Not you can say that, Mr. Johnson. Most people who would never be able to or go into the profession have had access to that through what the system Mr. Barrow established. And shouldn't those people now at least look at the society and say, well, look, let me make my contribution to it? So can you say the same thing as you talk to white people?
Yeah.
The same thing. The same principle. May those people, if you're benefited from society, give back to it. Mm-hmm. Help those who are now coming up to that's it.
But you see, again, it goes back to the comment I was making to him and I made earlier, that we have certain perceptions about who can give back, mm-hmm. who should give back, and how much you should have before you give back. There are those who believe that if it has taken them this long to get to point X or Y, they have to get further before they can, quote-unquote, give back. You know what's interesting, sir? We lost Carson Small recently, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Carson is a millionaire.
Right.
I don't think Carson had a great inheritance from anybody. But the little he had, he shared. He gave. Because he said he grew up in an environment where you're encouraged to give.
Right.
If we grow up in an environment where we look at what other people have and say, well, we don't have as much as they have, so we don't have enough. You see how it breeds a different type of mindset? And to me, we have a long way to go before we get to the understanding about what we owe to our society and our for parents for where we are today. And it's blinded by a lot of things. Greed sometimes, political allegiances sometimes, or sometimes just plain ignorance. I don't know. But we could talk about it some more. I have good news for those of you who are growing a little tired of hearing three voices. I received a message from Mr. Wickham who tells me he should be back in the country by tomorrow. and he will be on Brass Tack Sunday. And this Brass Tack Sunday, we'll have as our guest the new president of the Democratic Labour Party. We'll be joining host Mr. Peter Wickham on Brass Tack Sunday. So you can put the meat to marinate and put the pot on the slow boil and wait till Sunday. On behalf of John Stout, my technical operator, those of you who've contributed via WhatsApp, via email, or on the phone, I'm Dennis Johnson. Have a good afternoon.